In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Abraham looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Since its original publication in 1678, no book has had a greater influence on English religious life than John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress. Together with the Book of Common Prayer and the authorized version of the Bible, it has shaped our religious language. Its narrative has powerfully influenced the ways in which we think about the nature of Christian discipleship and obligation. For more than 200 years, it was one of the few books, apart from the Bible, that was allowed to be read in godly households on the Sabbath. Here is a short passage from the closing pages of the book. The various pilgrims, with their euphonious names, Mr. Honest, Mr. Standfast, Mr. Good Conscience, and Mr. Great Heart, are summoned to cross the river that separates them from the celestial city. Now it is the turn of Mr. Valiant for Truth. After this, it was noised abroad that Mr. Valiant for Truth was taken with a summons by the same post as the others, and has this for a token that the summons was true, that his pitcher was broken at the fountain. When he understood it, he called his friends and told them of it. Then said he, "I am going to my father's, and though with great difficulty I am got hither, yet now I do not repent me of all the trouble I have been at to arrive where I am. My sword I give to him that shall succeed me in my pilgrimage, and my courage and skill to him that can get it. My marks and scars I carry with me to be a witness for me that I have fought his battles, who now will be my rewarder." When the day that he must go hence was come, many accompanied him to the riverside, into which as he went he said, "Death, where is thy sting?" And as he went down deeper, he said, "Grave, where is thy victory?" So he passed over, and all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side. Bunyan is writing from the perspective of an English Puritan. He is describing the journey of the predestined through the rocks and shoals of a wicked world to the eternal city, the New Jerusalem of the Book of Revelation. But of course, the idea of pilgrimage vastly predates the Reformation. Engaging in a physical journey, which is also in some sense a spiritual journey, is a very ancient religious practice. As we know from Chaucer's Pilgrims, it could be a jolly social occasion as well as a religious venture. But it had a serious purpose. For pilgrimage, then and now, expresses a fundamental ambivalence. As people of faith, we live in this world but look for another. By undertaking a journey to an earthly destination, be it a shrine or other holy place, we are in some measure acting out our quest for a destination in another world. Like Abraham, we look forward with faith to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. For the writer to the Hebrews, Abraham in his journeyings was an exemplar of faith. The word is rich with meaning. In the mind of this writer, faith is the key to unlocking the invisible realities that elude rational or scientific investigation. Abraham's exemplary act of faith in responding to God's call, leaving his homeland and setting out as commanded, not knowing where God wanted him to go, is a startling demonstration of trust, fidelity, and loyalty. He heads that great company of heroes honored by the writer to the Hebrews, who have received God's promises, believed them, and acted on them. Their rootlessness is not aimless wandering. Rather, it expresses a conviction that God has appointed a new homeland for them, and that they must set out to seek it. Inevitably, this colours their attitude to the landscape through which they pass. They feel they are, in the words of Hebrews, strangers and foreigners on the earth. Believing they have another destiny and eagerly looking for its fulfillment, they feel they don't belong in this world. In the same way, Bunyan's pilgrims were all too aware of the hostile landscape through which they travelled. The Pilgrim's Progress is a catechism of the dangers of worldliness and the temptations that await the unwary in the earthly city. Mr. Lovelust and Mrs. Lightmind, Vanity Fair and the Slough of Despond are just a few of the enticements waiting to mislead unsteady souls as they go on their way. Heedless of the exhortation in Hebrews that here we have no abiding city, but are looking for the city that is to come, such spiritual waverers can mistake their true destination. Bunyan was temperamentally fearful of the bright lights of the earthly city and the spiritual destruction they could wreak. Yet somehow the Christian has to live here in this world without necessarily being of it. We cannot stand aside from the world's sorrow, nor close our eyes to the needs of others without being guilty of a different sort of spiritual waywardness, complacency, self-preoccupation, and above all, a failure to share the love of God with others. Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And in the parable of the sheep and the goats, he challenged those who turned their backs on the hungry and thirsty, on aliens, the destitute and prisoners, telling them that they had turned their backs on him. In Bunyan's terms, Jesus of Nazareth mixed with a pretty dubious crowd. For Christians, the challenge remains to combine a wholehearted commitment to this world and the possibilities it offers for spiritual flourishing in the context of service and testing, with an eager anticipation of that homeland which is our ultimate destiny. We must not be fearful of the world or unwilling to engage with it, but understand it as a necessary preparation for what follows. In individual human relationships here on earth, we can glimpse something of our ultimate relationship with God. In our social relationships, we glimpse something of our eventual relationships with one another in that divine society, the heavenly city. Far from making us sit lightly to this earthly life, the promise of a new homeland, a better country, that is, a heavenly one, should intensify our search for and celebration of the values of the kingdom when we encounter them in daily life. Justice, compassion, humility in the face of others' need, mercy, generosity, and forgiveness. Sometimes Bunyan's pilgrims strike us as unduly fearful, all too ready to cross that river to the celestial city. Perhaps we might trust ourselves to be braver, bolder, more faithful to that loving God who promises he will not leave us comfortless. It is that faithful waiting that Jesus commends in the parable of the alert servants, which we heard in this morning's Gospel. Obedient to their master's command to wait up until he returns from a wedding banquet, they receive their reward when he finally knocks on the door and it is promptly flung open for him. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. To share in the heavenly banquet served by the Lord himself in that city whose architect and builder is God, that is the reward of faithful Christian souls. And as we take bread and wine, say the thanksgiving, and then distribute the body and blood of Christ, we take nourishment for the journey on which we are all, please God, engaged. Amen.